The Synthesis of Yoga, Sri Aurobindo. Part 4, The Yoga of Self-Perfection. Chapter 6, Purification, the Lower Mentality. Page 658. This is the second half of this Chapter 6. Desire, it is thought, is the real motive power of human living, and to cast it out would be to stop the springs of life. Satisfaction of desire is man's only enjoyment, and to eliminate it would be to extinguish the impulse of life by a quietistic asceticism. But the real motive power of the life of the soul is will. Desire is only a deformation of will in the dominant bodily life and physical mind. The essential turn of the soul to possession and enjoyment of the world consists in a will to delight. The enjoyment of the satisfaction of craving is only a vital and physical degradation of the will to delight. It is essential that we should distinguish between pure will and desire, between the inner will to delight and the outer lust and craving of the mind and body. If we are unable to make this distinction practically in the experience of our being, we can only make a choice between a life-killing asceticism and the gross will to live, or else try to effect an awkward, uncertain, and precarious compromise between them. This is, in fact, what the mass of men do. A small minority trample down the life instinct and strain after an ascetic perfection. Most obey the gross will to live with such modifications and restraints as society imposes, or the normal social man has been trained to impose on his own mind and actions. Others set up a balance between ethical austerity and temperate indulgence of the desiring mental and vital self, and see in this balance the golden mean of a sane mind and healthy human living. But none of these ways gives the perfection which we are seeking, the divine government of the will in life. To tread down altogether the prana, the vital being, is to kill the force of life by which the large action of the embodied soul in the human being must be supported. To indulge the gross will to live is to remain satisfied with imperfection. To compromise between them is to stop halfway and possess neither earth nor heaven. But if we can get at the pure will undeformed by desire, which we shall find to be a much more free, tranquil, steady, and effective force than the leaking, smoke-stifled, soon-fatigued, and baffled flame of desire, and at the calm inner will of delight, not afflicted or limited by any trouble of craving, we can then transform the prana from a tyrant, enemy, assailant of the mind, into an obedient instrument. We may call these greater things, too, by the name of desire, if we choose, but then we must suppose that there is a divine desire other than the vital craving, a God desire, of which this other and lower phenomenon is an obscure shadow, and into which it has to be transfigured. It is better to keep distinct names for things which are entirely different in their character and inner action. To rid the prana of desire, and incidentally to reverse the ordinary poise of our nature, and turn the vital being from a troublesomely dominant power into the obedient instrument of a free and unattached mind, is then the first step in purification. As this deformation of the physical prana is corrected, The purification of the rest of the intermediary parts of the Antahkarana is facilitated. And when that correction is completed, their purification too can be easily made absolute. These intermediary parts are the emotional mind, the receptive sensational mind, and the active sensational mind, or mind of dynamic impulse. They all hang together in a strongly knotted interaction. The deformation of the emotional mind hinges upon the duality of liking and disliking, raga dvesha, emotional attraction and repulsion. All the complexity of our emotions and their tyranny over the soul arise from the habitual responses of the soul of desire in the emotions and sensations to these attractions and repulsions. Love and hatred, hope and fear, grief and joy, all have their founts in this one source. We like, love, welcome, hope for, joy in whatever our nature, the first habit of our being, or else a formed, often perverse habit, the second nature of our being, presents to the mind as pleasant, priyam. We hate, dislike, fear, have repulsion from, or grief of whatever it presents to us as unpleasant, apriyam. This habit of the emotional nature gets into the way of the intelligent will and makes it often a helpless slave of the emotional being, or at least prevents it from exercising a free judgment and government of the nature. This deformation has to be corrected. By getting rid of desire in the psychic prana and its intermissions in the emotional mind, we facilitate the correction. For then attachment, which is the strong bond of the heart, falls away from the heartstrings. The involuntary habit of raga dvesha remains, but not being made obstinate by attachment, it can be dealt with more easily by the will and the intelligence. The restless heart can be conquered and get rid of the habit of attraction and repulsion. But then, if this is done, it may be thought, as with regard to desire, that this will be the death of the emotional being. It will certainly be so if the deformation is eliminated but not replaced by the right action of the emotional mind. The mind will then pass into a neutral condition of blank indifference, or into a luminous state of peaceful impartiality with no stir or wave of emotion. The former state is in no way desirable. The latter may be the perfection of a quietistic discipline. But in the integral perfection, which does not reject love or shun various movement of delight, it can be no more than a stage which has to be overpassed, a preliminary passivity admitted as a first basis for a right activity. Attraction and repulsion, liking and disliking, are a necessary mechanism for the normal man. They form a first principle of natural instinctive selection among the thousand flattering and formidable, helpful and dangerous impacts of the world around him. The buddhi starts with this material to work on and tries to correct the natural and instinctive by a wiser, reasoned, and willed selection. For obviously the pleasant is not always the right thing, the object to be preferred and selected, nor the unpleasant the wrong thing, the object to be shunned and rejected. The pleasant and the good, preyas and shreyas, have to be distinguished, and right reason has to choose, and not the caprice of emotion. But this it can do much better when the emotional suggestion is withdrawn, and the heart rests in a luminous passivity. Then, too, the right activity of the heart can be brought to the surface, for we find then that behind this emotion-ridden soul of desire, there was waiting all the while a soul of love, and lucid joy, and delight, a pure psyche, which was clouded over by the deformations of anger, fear, hatred, repulsion, and could not embrace the world with an impartial love and joy. But the purified heart is rid of anger, rid of fear, rid of hatred, rid of every shrinking and repulsion. It has a universal love. It can receive with an untroubled sweetness and clarity the various delight which God gives it in the world. But it is not the lax slave of love and delight. It does not desire, does not attempt to impose itself as the master of the actions. The selective process necessary to action is left principally to the buddhi, and when the buddhi has been overpassed, to the spirit and the supramental will, knowledge, and ananda. The receptive sensational mind is the nervous mental basis of the affections. It receives mentally the impacts of things and gives to them the responses of mental pleasure and pain, which are the starting point of the duality of emotional liking and disliking. All the heart's emotions have a corresponding nervous mental accompaniment, and we often find that when the heart is freed of any will to the dualities, still survives a root of disturbance of nervous mind, or a memory in physical mind which falls more and more away to a quite physical character, the more it is repelled by the will in the buddhi. It becomes finally a mere suggestion from outside, to which the nervous cords of the mind still occasionally respond, until a complete purity liberates them into the same luminous universality of delight which the pure heart already possesses. The active dynamic mind of impulse is the lower organ or channel of responsive action. Its deformation is a subjection to the suggestions of the impure emotional and sensational mentality and the desire of the prana, to impulses to action dictated by grief, fear, hatred, desire, lust, craving, and the rest of the unquiet brood. Its right form of action is a pure dynamic force of strength, courage, temperamental power, not acting for itself or in obedience to the lower members, but as an impartial channel for the dictates of the pure intelligence and will, or the supramental purusha. When we have got rid of these deformations and cleared the mentality for these truer forms of action, the lower mentality is purified and ready for perfection. But that perfection depends on the possession of a purified and enlightened buddhi. For the buddhi is the chief power in the mental being and the chief mental instrument of the purusha. End of chapter 6, page 662.